do pray that you will be praying for Brother Hardison. He's been a friend of this church, I know, for many years. And he's been a very dear personal friend of mine for 55 years. And a very good friend. And we're grieving over his condition. So please pray for him. Psalm 107, we'll begin with verse 21. Read down through verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the work of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raises the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves are all be still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Our Father, we rejoice in the goodness of our God. And we do have every reason to give praise and honor and glory to him who doeth all things well. And I pray that you take this portion of scripture tonight and use it, I pray, to be a blessing and a help to the hearts of your people. Give this preacher liberty to preach, a clear mind, and may hearts understand. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. This passage of scripture describes a storm at sea and the effects of it. Are any of you sailors that sailed out on the ocean in the Navy or some other place? There's one, there's two, there's three, there's four. So you know what we're talking about in this passage, don't you? But then the Bible tells us in this passage that things are so bad and so rough. They finally get to the place they know not what to do. And we're convinced this was all over for them. And the Bible says they came to wit's end. Have you ever in your life come to a place of wit's end? You didn't know what to do. And you looked at the situation, you knew there wasn't anything that you could do. Totally out of your control. This passage describes a storm at sea and its effect on the sailors. We draw parallels from this, of course, because I think the writer is defining not only a storm on sea, but a storm that goes on in the hearts and lives of people. Notice that God sent this storm, but he had a reason. And there was to teach these believers a spiritual lesson. I believe that God allows us to experience storms in our lives so that we will learn to trust him in everything and in every way. And I believe that every sailor that goes to sea will experience his share of storms. You been at the sea when a storm was raging? Wasn't fun, was it? I wonder if you've ever experienced as a Christian a storm in your life. I have. Countless times I've experienced storms. And I know I'm talking to people tonight in any congregation I might speak to on this subject. I would know there are people there that are going through tremendous storms. So every sailor that goes to sea will experience his share of storms, and every Christian who lives in a period of this life will experience storms. James said, why do you say, what in the world is going on in my life and why is it happening? God has a reason for the storms he allows to come in our life. I want to divide this text up tonight in four thoughts. I'll read them for you first, and then we'll look at them. First, their distress. Second, their desperation. Then they cry unto the Lord. Then third, their deliverance, and they're bringing them out and into their desired haven. And then as a result of all of this, their determination to serve the Lord and praise His holy name. Let's look first at their distress and see the storm. Again, reading verse 25, verse 27. For he commanded the rains of the stormy wind which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. You may never have been to sea, but at least you know what this passage is talking about. Rough waves, up and down, no land in sight, no sun in sight. Finally, you just might give up. And they come, and you come to your wit's end. They came to a place, they were completely helpless and without any answer at all of what they could do. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was taken on that trip from Israel to Rome, the latter part of the book of Romans, they went to sea. They came into a tremendous storm. Let me read this passage because it sort of speaks to the subject. And when the ship was caught, they could not bear up into the wind. We let her drive, just turned her loose. And running on a certain island, which is called Clauden, had much work to come by the boat. Which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship. They took something like ropes and tied the ship together, let it go floating under and tie it tight to keep the ship from falling apart. And fearing lest they should be fallen into the quicksands, they struck their sail and so were driven out of control. Being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, threw everything out they didn't need. And on the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And we neither the sun nor stars, and many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. Sounds kind of like Psalm 107, doesn't it? Wit's end. And again, God allows us sometimes to go through storms. Job certainly went through storms. His health was gone. His wife said, curse God and die. His friends failed him. Came and spent 7 days and looking at him. If they had kept on looking at him and not opened their mouth, they might have offered some comfort. But as soon as they started to talk, he was worse off than ever. Elijah the prophet knew what it was to go through storms. I've been through storms and so have you. The apostles went through storms. But one good thing about a storm makes better sailors. I wouldn't want to go to sea with a guy that I've never been to sea. Would you? I'd rather go with an experienced sailor. And so it makes a better sailor out of you when you go through storms. And by the way, it makes a better Christian out of you when you go through storms. I had a young evangelist tell me many years ago when he was preaching in our church up at Great Hope. He said this from the pulpit, is, you know, I believe in our family, we are God's pets. We've never had any problem, no grief, no trouble. We've had an easy street and blessings all of our lives. It's so good to be God's pet. I thought to myself, young man, I'm happy for you. But what are you going to do when it comes? Because, see, it's coming. And my friend, if you have not experienced this storm yet, just hang on. I've got good news for you. It's coming. You're going to experience a storm. My brethren, count it all joy when you come into fall into diverse temptation, knowing this. That the trying of your faith worketh patience, but patience, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I think some sailors think they're going to really make it as a sailor, maybe an admiral one day, but the first time they go to sea, they decide, I ain't going again. Last time they want to go. I remember years and years ago, this is back before I was a preacher, this is back when I was just like anyone else. working for a company that said, we'll take you guys out deep sea fishing. I thought, that's great. I love fish. Come home with a boatload of fish. I'll eat what I can eat, put the rest in the freezer. Went out, John, and picked up one of those boats and went out in Oregon in it. We're going to go into the ocean. But the dry guy that was piloting the boat said, we can't go out in the ocean. The water's too rough. We're going to fish right in Oregon Inlet. I'm sitting there back at the boat, feet up on the rail, holding that rod and reel, trolling. All of a sudden, I started feeling funny. In a little while, I was down in the bottom of that boat, sick as a dog. Like I said, when I came home that night, I was green. I said, I'll pay for the trip for everybody. Just take me back to the shore. I made a decision. I would never in all my life go deep sea fishing again. By the way, I haven't. So don't ask me to join the Navy. I've been in infantry before I'll do that. Some Christians stop serving God after their first storm. The writer of Proverbs says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Christians respond differently to storms in their lives. And I've heard some of them say things like this. They literally deny during a storm. I'm doing fine. No problem at all. I knew they were in the midst of a storm, but they wouldn't admit it. Everything's okay, but I knew things were not okay. And some pretend that they're in control. I have complete control over all of this. No problem, no sweat. I've got it made. But behind that smile is a raging storm. Some complain about it. Some run from it. Some blame others and get bitter for their storm. But what happens when you come to the lack of any solution at all to it? I'm a fix-it kind of a guy. Maybe you are too. Any kind of trouble comes along, I know there's an answer, and I know I'm going to be able to find it somehow, and I work until I finally find the answer. I like to fix problems. But when you have a problem you can't fix, that makes it worse, doesn't it? I just can't find an answer to it. Dr. Larry Crabb said in one of his books, there's nothing more terrifying than staring at a problem for which you have no solution under your direct control. My, what a problem. Some of the greatest lessons that you or I will ever learn will be in those spiritual storms that we have to go through. The storm. But now notice their desperation. Then they cry. Notice this. Then they cry. Isn't it sad they waited till they came to wit's end to cry? Have you ever done anything like that in the midst of your storm? You've tried everything. You've talked to everybody you knew to talk to. You've been to the bookstore and bought all the books that deals with your problem. You've thought it through and you've tried to come up with all kinds of solutions, but finally, when you couldn't find any solution on your own and couldn't get it from anybody else, couldn't read it in the book, then you say, I need to pray about this. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Why wait? Why wait? Have you run out of ideas? Are you in a storm tonight? You can't find a solution? It's time to cry unto the Lord. Just admit it. Lord, I'm in a storm and I don't have a solution to it. The only thing I can do is just look at you and say, Lord, what can I do about this? Follow the example of Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament when the Ammonites and the Moabites had threatened Israel. In 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. Turn it over to God. Then follow the example of Hezekiah, also the king of Israel, when the Assyrians sent a threatening letter to him in 2 Kings 19, verse 10 through verse 16. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not the God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands. By destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan, or Haran, or Rezeph, and the children of Eden which were in Thelazar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arphad, the king of the city of Seraphim, and Helena, and Iva? Hezekiah received a letter. This was a letter that was sent to him at the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord and spread it out before God. Just laid the letter out. Lord, see this letter? See what this guy wrote? And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Then he says, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which have sent him to reproach the living God. And God brought a mighty deliverance. Thousands and thousands of his enemies were killed. In the 1960s, somewhere about the mid-60s, I believe it was, I was pastoring Great Oak in Chesapeake. This is very early days in the church. The church was small. And they were paying me a major salary, of course. I think it was about $60 a week. And we just struggled, no, a little bit more than that, maybe $100. Just kind of struggling by. We had a doctor's bill. I had a doctor's bill. We couldn't pay it. The bill was $60.10. I'll never forget the bill. I couldn't pay it. I didn't have the money. And if there's anybody that's conscious about paying bills, it's this guy. I don't owe anybody anything. I'll pay my bills somehow, some way, it's going to get paid. But I didn't know where I was going to get the money and couldn't see anywhere to get it anywhere. We had a church anniversary. And U.G. Robertson, used to pastor Central Baptist Church in Portsmouth, he's now with the Lord, came to preach our anniversary service on a Sunday afternoon. And when he finished preaching, he said something like this to the church. Or rather, asked him a question. Has this church taken up an offering for its pastor yet today? And everybody kind of looked at one another, hadn't they? So after he finished preaching, they took up an offering for me. Later on in my office. And the treasurer comes by and hands me a check. Would you like to guess the amount of the check? It was $60. And I said, well, you must have made a mistake because I owed 10 cents. $60 and 10 cents. Then I got thinking about it. It cost me 10 cents just to send a letter or to send a check. So God paid it to the penny. You know, I've been through storms. But God's brought some deliverance to some of the storms of my life. What about you tonight? Have you come to wit's end? You don't know what to do? That's when God does his best work. Well, you don't know what to do when you turn it over to him. God, this is your problem. You made me some promises. I'm resting in you. Make sure your heart's right. Then you can rest in him. Then their deliverance. And he bringeth them out of their distresses in verse 28. Three things here that God did in delivering them. First, verse 29, he made the storm a calm. Can you imagine a storm in the middle of the ocean? Waves going way up yonder and way down deep and way up again and down and deep. And all of a sudden, as smooth as glass. Wouldn't that make you glad? When your storm settles down, you think it'll make you glad? Have you been through some storms and God delivered you from them and the storms got as smooth as glass? Did it make you glad? Better still, did it bring you to the place that you praised God for it? I'm afraid too many of us, when we have a storm, after God delivers us from the storm, we forget he did it. Doesn't occur to us to praise him for it. It's almost like you think you solved the problem. rather than God. He made the storm a calm. Some burdens are like a raging storm, no rest, no peace. But imagine the relief those sailors felt and the relief that you'll feel when God delivers your storm. Mark 4, verse 39, and he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still, and the wind ceased. There's a great calm. God knows how to bring a calm. And may I say tonight that God can calm the storm that may be raging in your soul, even tonight. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God can pass all understanding, so you keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he made the storm a calm, but then he gave them gladness. Then are they glad because the storm be quiet. So there's always glad when the storm is quiet. And joy fills the heart of the believer when the storm is quiet. Then thirdly, he brought them into their desired haven. Sailors in a storm long to see land. They want to see some land somewhere. And he's bringing them into their desired haven. Our Lord's a rock and a wealthy land, a shelter in a time of storm. He's a haven of rest. Brokenhearted brought the comfort in Christ. The struggling saint brought the victory and rest. And one who lacks peace has peace. And for the sake of the unsaved, the convicted sinner is brought to his Savior. And then their determination. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. How desperately we need to learn. First, to look at him. And then when he brings deliverance to us, take the time to fall on your face before him and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let them exalt him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the saints. Praise him yourself privately, but do so publicly with others and just brag on Jesus. Brag on Jesus. I think we should determine to praise God for our deliverance. Only God could have delivered the Apostle Paul. Only God could have delivered Daniel. Only God could deliver those sailors. Some of us have delivered storms, and it was only God that did it. There was no answer. I have been in some storms, and I knew that only God could give the deliverance that came. Some of you have been there. Now, we'll go through storms. I'm sorry to have to tell you, but we're going to. As long as you live, you still have storms. But the things you learn in a storm. We learn to be a better sailor. We learn to be a better Christian. If you have never experienced a storm, then you will collapse when your first one comes. Just as a sailor learns to be a better sailor with a storm, so you learn to be a stronger believer when you go through storms. We're strengthened by them. I work for the telephone company. Used to be here in Elizabeth City, Norfolk and Carolina, tell for 15 years before God called me to preach. At the time he called me, I was plant manager exchange up in Chesapeake. But before that, I'd been a lineman on one of these crews. And one of the jobs we had was to go to Hatteras Island to build some lines. And we did this probably not over about a week after they had finished the highway from Oregon Inlet all the way down to Hatteras and Buxton. By the way, we got stuck in the pavement on the way back home. It was so soft and so hot on the beach. But my first trip there at Cape Hatteras, as we're running these wires, I noticed the trees. And I thought, these trees kind of look strange. They didn't have a tall pine trees like we have around here. They were short and stubby. So have you ever been there? Anyone here? Have you noticed the trees? Stubby trees. Huge limbs, short and knobbly, ugly tree. How many storms over the years, hurricanes, have battered those islands? One after another, storms have come. And when they've come, they've hit those trees. But every time a storm comes and hits those trees, what happens? It strains the limbs, but doesn't blow them over. It doesn't break those limbs off either. Why? Because they've experienced over the years countless storms that strain those. You've heard it, if there's no pain, there's no gain. What happens physically when you exercise? It strengthens your muscles. And those trees that drove those roots deeper, made those limbs stronger so they could stand the storm. That's the same way that's with us, my friends. Whenever you go through a storm, it makes you stronger. Dries the roots down deeper. And you're better able to handle the future storms that come your way. And we learn also in a storm that no human solutions will ever compare to God's delivering power. We learn that no storms, only He can deliver us. We also learn this. We'll survive. We will survive. We'll get through it if we trust Him. We get through our storms. And we learn this. We learn how to help others that are going through a storm. If you're going through a storm tonight and you encounter someone else going through that same storm, you can provide the best comfort that person could ever receive because you've learned from your experience how to comfort others. In a time of grief, someone who's had the same grief can give you more comfort than someone who's not had that grief. Are you in a storm tonight? Financial? Cast it on Jesus. Physical? Cast it on Jesus. Family? Cast it on Him. Work? Cast it on Jesus. Because He wants to deliver you. Let's bow our heads and hearts together now in prayer, if you would, please. And could we have the pianist come and provide some music, invitation music, no singing.